Let's talk to Tim Gregory. He's the Chief Investment Manager at Vermeer Investment Management. Very good morning to you, young Tim.
Morning, Nick.
Right, let's talk US results. Good, bad, indifferent so far?
Well, the results have generally been quite good, but reactions to share prices has been probably more interesting in some cases than the numbers themselves. So,
right.
For example, you know, the results season began with great numbers from Netflix and the shares went up very strongly. Deservedly so, and the numbers were really fantastic, the subscription numbers there. But since that, you know, we had a solid reporting season from the banks, but they all went down, which, given that bond yields have now moved back to the 3% level, is perhaps a bit of a surprise, but they have not responded well to their numbers to this point. And, you know, a number of consumer staples, which the market would have expected to deliver solid, sustainable, steady, no surprise performances, things like Philip Morris last week, Procter & Gamble, did not have great numbers.
Right.
So, there, you know, there's been a mixed reaction. And even last night, Alphabet had excellent results, beat expectations handsomely, did say that they were going to put, not unsurprisingly, a lot of costs into the business. And having sort of initially bounced on the numbers after hours, finish lower.
Right.
So it's been quite a mix so far.
So maybe ninth innings. No buyers left in town.
Yeah, we've talked. Well, I don't think it's that there's no buyers left in town, but markets have had a great run over a long period of time. We need to go through this period of consolidation we've talked a lot about.
Mm-hmm.
We're at just below 2,700. That's almost right in the middle of between that sort of 2,870 peak and 2,550 low. And I can see that being the case for a while still, to be honest.
Well, you've gone on tape saying you don't think we're going to make new highs anytime soon, so I assume you're still
I see no reason to change that view. I think there's a balance between decent growth that's going on, good country results coming through, high valuations that those results need, and so what will drive share prices higher in individual companies is their ability to beat earnings very strongly and really paint a very positive picture for the future. Anything that's just there or thereabouts. And to be honest, the bank's results were good, but they were just, to me, there or thereabouts.
Right.
And, you know, so the stocks having, you know, performed very well last year, big part of the Trump trade, rising interest rates, tax reform, have just stalled for the time being.
Maybe a crowded long, because everyone was saying rising interest rates equals buy the banks.
Yeah, and to be fair, you know, we've owned some of the banks. You know, we own Citigroup and US Bank Corp in the US, and we've got a bit more of a focus towards Asian banks, but you may well be right that actually everyone's kind of got there, expected them to have good numbers, expecting to see them benefiting from higher interest rates. And it's that side of things is probably taking a little bit longer, even though bond yields have risen.
Yep, up to 3%.
Well, we're there, aren't we? I mean, it may have topped very briefly at 299.5, but to all intents and purposes, the mindset of investors is back that yields are at 3, and of course, concerned that the yield curve is as flat as it is, and is it going to invert? So, you know, 5-year yields, 2.8, 30-year yields, about 3.13. So there's, you know, it is pretty flat now.
Well, one thing I've always been taught is don't ignore the bond market.
No, indeed. So, I mean, you know, that is something to be continued to keep an eye on.
Okay, let's have a few words about commodities. I had a guest on recently, showed me a really nice-looking commodity chart. You said that you fancied commodities this year. In terms of oil, okay, lots of headlines, breaking up and out. Everyone's saying that the supply-demand differential, it shouldn't be at these levels, but nevertheless, we're here. What impact is this having on the BPs, the Shells and the likes? Are you involved in that sector?
Well, we're a little bit underweight oil, and we don't own BP and Shell, but, you know, think that they're interesting opportunities if the oil price is to stay at this level. You know, we own things like Statoil, which performed quite well, Chevron, less so, it's been okay. And this year we added to oil service company, to Schlumberger, to our portfolio. And what we think is interesting, and we're not experts on the oil industry, but what we do think is interesting is that the oil price has gone up much more than oil equities. So oil equities still think, as far as I'm concerned, oil equities still think the oil price is going to go back down again. But if you read the results statements of companies in the service companies, like Schlumberger, like Halliburton, that have had results the last few days, solid enough results, nothing to get the share prices higher, but all saying that production, because of this enormous CapEx hiatus that there's been since the oil price collapsed in 2014, that production is really slowing, and that if there isn't a pickup in spending to meet current levels of demand, the likelihood is the oil price will rise a lot more strongly than people actually expect. So actually there needs to be a pickup in CapEx. So all the longer term concerns about oil, from electronic vehicles and all those things out maybe to the mid-20s and beyond, are still there. But in the short term, demand is very robust and supply potentially not there to meet it. So what could surprise people is actually that the oil price stays at these levels or even goes a little higher and sustains higher level. And what I think is that the cash flows, and we've talked about this in the context of things like Rio Tinto in the past, iron ore price is a lot lower than it was at the peak, somewhat higher than it was, and they've got great capital discipline, generating lots of cash. Well, a lot of the mega cap oil companies have done the same thing, really lowered their break-evens, really cut back on their CapEx, really running the businesses much tighter. We've got results coming up. What's going to be really interesting, just to see how much cash these companies are now generating and how much dividend, you know, what dividends are now sustainable, could even grow. And, you know, it's not all about the oil price going back to 100. I think if those companies see the oil price stay around these levels and surprise people by being able to stay here, they could be interesting.
On that note, I'm just thinking Goldman Sachs, I think, recently upgraded oil.
Right, there we go then.
On that basis, Tim, thank you very much.
Thanks very much.